Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 337, top of the day to you, Steph.
Hello, Leah.
Have you got a cold? You did a little sniff.
Oh, I think that was a getting ready sniff.
Oh, getting ready sniff.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. My apologies. Anyway, you interrupted me. I was going to say.
I'm sorry.
It's a fun week for you.
Yes,
it's
yesterday.
Birthday week.
It was my birthday. But of course, it was on a Monday because we're recording on Tuesday. Mm. It was a Monday and it was a weekend filled with like
big
fun,
events.
Big fun events, but not my birthday events.
No.
So all of a sudden it got to Monday and it was like,
oh. Here it is.
Oh, and this is it, and I'm at work, and now it's done.
And nobody enjoys Mondays.
Yeah. I got two birthday coffees at work, though.
Did
that
you?
Was pretty nice. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, that's so
nice.
That's
really nice. Yeah. And got some really nice cozy winter presents.
Mm.
Now, I don't know if I told you this.
Go on.
I did. I told you, but pretend you didn't know.
Well, it's still a mystery to me because you haven't said it yet.
So you gave me a couple of books, right? One is about, it's a Japanese book.
Yes.
Obviously translated into English.
Yes.
About a librarian,
yeah.
Right? As
yeah.
Got a cat. And then another one.
Yeah.
About a library in France.
Yes.
Then.
I did that on purpose.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
And then Mum got me a book about a character whose name is Bridget Jones, but she's a librarian in Fremantle in Western Australia. And then
stop.
I remembered that I had used my – I had a gift voucher for
yeah.
Dimmicks.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, look, I'm just going to go and use this. It was from Christmas. I'm going to go and use it. And I had bought a book about a library.
No way.
And they're all different. They're all different genres. Isn't
That's
that weird? Like, because I bought it and went, oh, I'll read that later.
And all set in different places.
All in different places.
Japan, France.
France, Australia.
WA.
And then this is the other one's like a, you know, different world kind
yeah.
of thing. Like,
that's crazy.
Isn't that weird?
Are you more niche than you think you are?
Apparently. Never even knew. Isn't that hilarious? And no, I'm not a librarian by profession.
No.
So funny. Yeah, I wanted to tell you that.
Yeah, that's funny.
Because the fourth one that was me
yeah,
a couple
that
of
just
weeks ago.
Clinches it.
Yeah. So funny. I've got a fun quiz for you.
Is it about a librarian?
No, it's not.
Bridget Oh, no.
No,
wrong
it's not. It's no. not. I did it at work today with a couple of people.
Yeah.
And they were like throwing ideas
were
or
they?
I was like testing them.
Yeah.
So it's quite fun. It's very niche. You have to be.
They all are very niche, though.
But different niches. But niche enough so that you get. Yeah, you have a chance.
Yeah. If you're going
yeah.
soccer, we're going to hit a
yeah,
big fat
it's
zero.
Be a bit of a. Well, there is yeah. a little bit of a sporting question
okay.
in this one, but I think you. I reckon if I was to guess, I would have
some
guessed
clues,
it.
Clues, maybe.
Yeah. Well, I think. I've watched a few things. One, actually, I sat down. I was like, yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
I am getting ready. This is big time.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a big relaxathon, sit here the whole night just binging this. Only one episode was out.
Oh.
Next
well,
one's
okay,
out on
okay.
Thursday, which is when this
one.
Comes out.
I had seen like trailers and, you know, a lot of press on social media and I was like, yes, tonight's the night. I'm going to watch that. I love it. I've already got background knowledge. It's not out till the 20th of
oh,
June.
Oh, that's so far away. Damn. Well, look, whilst we wait for all of these amazing series that we're really into or could potentially get
Who
into.
Knows? It's
we,
a mystery
which
so far.
We have no idea. We should get into something that we like to call the
thought that there would ever be some sort of nostalgia for the 1980s. Not us. For all the people living in this non-eventful and unobtrusive decade, it seemed like it would be forgotten in time, just like the 1340s. Was there even a 1340s? I don't know, I just said a bunch of numbers randomly. That's not the case, however, and the thirst for all things 80s is real. This is why we've compiled all the best and worst things from that era and put them into an exhibition. Hypercolor t-shirts, check. John Hughes movies, check. The singing of Come On Aussie, Come On, check. Bubble-O Bills, check. Mullets, check. Finding out who shot JR, check. Barbie and the Rockers, check. Music videos on this thing called MTV, check. Disposable cameras, check. Cold War anxiety, not to be confused with 2020 anxiety, check. Come and immerse yourself in everything this colourful decade was all about. By the way, why did the 80s look down its nose at the 1970s for having really terrible fashion and colours? I mean, the 80s should come with a warning. The same way strobe lights in the sun do, can be dangerous for your eyesight if looked directly at. The 1980s Flashback Exhibition. Check it out in person or virtually today.
Bit of a car crash, that one.
I liked it. I was along for the ride.
Yeah.
I was like, which one of us is going to take the steering wheel? Or the brakes and
I think
just
I did.
Yeah.
My brakes were on like a rocky dirt road.
But you didn't do it abruptly, so we didn't go skidding. It was a nice yeah. controlled brake.
Controlled bump to the end.
Yeah, that's it. Now, Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power was the series on Amazon. Cost, I don't know, $400 billion an episode.
$400 gazillion.
So much money. And, you know, a lot of people were like, yeah, it was okay.
So glad we're all in debt now.
You know, it's just
meh.
Yeah, swing and
roundabouts. Is that what you're
talking
about?
Well, no, I was going to say swing and miss. I was like, no, they didn't really miss. I mean, it was fine.
Yeah.
I'm still going to watch the second season, but
okay.
If I do watch it, which I've said I have, I will not be watching the actress Nazanin Bonadi, I think mm-hmm. is how her last name is pronounced. She will not be Bronwyn in season two. And I thought, oh, what's going on?
Tell me the controversy. Where's the tea?
Now she's saying, because she was the one that
said no thank you.
Made the announcement that she wasn't going to be in it on Instagram. And she said it was her decision not to return. She didn't go into all the details, but she said, and I quote, "I made the choice not to return for season two of Rings of Power. Throughout my career, the values I have held most dear are honesty, empathy, and integrity. My character Bronwyn was committed to these same ideals in striving for a fairer world, which is why I connected with her so deeply and I look forward to sharing my latest projects with you soon." So basically she's like, I have a lot of honesty, empathy, and integrity,
mm-hmm.
but I won't tell you why I've actually left.
True, good, spot on. I have a lot of honesty, integrity, and something or other.
Empathy.
I asked for some demands and they said no.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we might be onto something. So
we're very good at reading between the lines.
Sometimes I'm not even reading the lines.
Yeah.
I'm so busy about between them.
And what makes us 100% success rate with reading between the lines is we don't follow up.
Yeah.
So what we said
goes. Indubitably. Deadline said that Bronwyn has not been recast, so who knows what happens to her and all the other characters around her, including, I don't know, her son and her boyfriend. But maybe it will be kind of like Heath in The Walking Dead, where he just said, "I'm just going to wander up there. I'll be."
Yeah.
And that was like six seasons before the show finished and they never mentioned him again. So Rings of Power, I think it's one of those series that in my head I want to rewatch it just before the next season,
mm-hmm.
but I probably won't.
You won't, 100% you won't.
Because there'll be a recap.
Do you know what's amazing?
Yeah.
I've not heard anyone talk about it.
Isn't that weird?
It is.
It's Lord of the Rings. Do you remember when those films came out?
Yeah, exactly. So you've lost a huge audience? Or do they not know about it? What is it?
Have times changed? Because when you think about three films. They were three, right? They didn't make the third one into four.
It was four.
Well, that was a lot of films out of one book,
True.
But that was actually event viewing in that it came out here and probably worldwide on Boxing Day.
When
you didn't have anything to watch. You know, it was either the cricket,
yep,
DVDs,
mm-hmm.
or you go to the movies.
You're all hungover, so you just want to sit and relax.
Here it is summer. It's hot.
Yep.
Getting the aircon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, it was a big event in itself that you had to be part of the initial viewings to be like, I went and saw it. Did you?
Well, we ended up seeing people in the lines, not only the lines to go to the film, we were going to the film.
Yeah.
And people we knew were buying tickets to go and watch the film later in the day.
Yeah.
So it was just, and that was at a cinema that we don't usually go to or them because it was really hard to get tickets.
Yes.
So cool. What I love that stuff when everybody's on board.
Events.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very fun.
That's the feeling you get when you go to a concert, isn't it?
Yes.
And you're like, oh, look, thousands of people here and we've all decided I'm going to spend my money. I'm going to like try and deal with the ticket buying online saga that it is these days. Ever. Even when you had to line up, it wasn't fun. And then we're all here. We're all here for one thing at the exact same time. Like that combined joint enjoyment is something that we lose with streaming.
And isn't it interesting about music? And I find this more so at concerts than at movie theatres.
Yeah.
You are surrounded by people who are genuine fans of either the music or the artist or to varying levels, but you're a fan enough to buy the ticket, right?
Yeah.
So I look at everyone and I go, this is the kind of person I am. Okay. So I'm a little bit like all of these people.
Yep.
Mm.
But then you do go to some things and you look around and you go,
oh, I didn't expect. Oh,
I'm part of these. This
I didn't
group.
Expect that. Oh. Yeah.
So, a little bit all grayer than I thought I was.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we're all sitting down. Okay. Yep. Yeah. We didn't when we saw them in 1996,
did
we? No,
but I'm really excited that we have all decided en masse that we are not standing up.
Collective sit down.
We all have achy knees, hips and ankles. And we've all worn sensible footwear.
We have a sensible footwear and appropriate clothing.
Yeah.
Temperature-wise.
Yes. I mean, some of us would be in stretchy jeans as well because I ain't sitting down for that long.
No, that's not comfortable. We were talking about Knives Out, I think, last week.
Oh, probably like every week.
Well, there's more news. Do you remember we were doing we were guessing who the cast would be?
Yes. Did they listen to us?
They've listened.
Did they just cast a few people?
They were like, holy macaroni, we kind of have to start saying who these people are that are actually going to be in the film.
Do you have any recollection of who you said?
Oh, we were going Margot Robbie, Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, we went a bit.
Joaquin Phoenix. Lady Gaga was in there as well.
Tell me who they've got.
Okay. Josh Brolin.
Okay.
Glenn Close.
Oh, I like that.
Mila Kunis.
Interesting. Has Josh Brolin been in one of them already?
I don't think so.
Okay.
It's just that he's in everything.
Yeah.
That's what you're getting mixed up. Kerry Washington.
Yes.
And Jeremy Renner.
Ooh,
you know the guy that ran over himself with the snowplow?
Yeah.
Mm. So he's back, you know, doing acting, and which is really cool. Really good to know what a cast. So that, remember we knew the name, Wake Up Dead Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's dead? Dead man? Who's dead?
Jeremy Renner, maybe it's
Renner.
Josh Brolin?
Maybe it's Josh Brolin.
Mm.
I'm excited.
I mean, we know Daniel Craig, obviously.
I am going to watch them again. Will you remind me to do so?
Yeah.
Okay.
I will sit there and watch them with you.
Okay.
Cool. Plan. We've got a plan.
Plan.
Phew.
We need a second screen so we can watch it while we're doing Stardew Valley. So when it's not my turn, I can focus.
So it'll be on the iPad. The movie will be in the iPad. Yes. The Stardew Valley will be on the big screen.
On the big screen.
Yeah, that seems appropriate. There is a film about to be made called Death of Robin Hood. And it is starring Hugh Jackman and Jodie Comer.
Whoa.
This one sounds – I was like, okay, is this like based on a book or something? The Death of Robin Hood, what – I don't remember
action-y?
It's a thriller.
Ooh.
And it's about Robin Hood grappling, I'm quoting from Hollywood Reporter, grappling with his past self after a life of crime and murder in the hands of a mysterious woman. He is offered a chance of salvation. Those two, I feel like this film could go either way. I mean, it's saying it's a thriller.
Thriller and Hugh Jackman are not sitting with me.
That's why I'm thinking it might be a bit funny. Okay. But then you've got Jodie Comer, right, who has been in stuff where she's kind of a bad big boy.
Yeah.
But she is kind of funny. She's a bit quirky. I think it could go down that way.
Interesting.
If she's the mysterious woman who is offering him a chance of salvation,
mm-hmm.
what kind of weird stuff is she going to make him do?
Dunno.
Obviously, this is not going to even be anywhere near being made and in the cinemas for ages because production's set to start in 2025.
Oh, okay.
We've got a long time to wait.
So in 3 years, we'll be like.
We'll be talking about it like we've never spoken about it before. Yes. Did you hear about this? No.
No? Hugh Jackman in a thriller?
It sounds great. A quiz coming up for us a little bit later on. If you were in Australia in the early 2000s.
I was.
I think you're going to be okay.
Okay.
Brilliant. But before we do any of that, we've got to get into this thing that we here call watching suggestions.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Did you ever watch Colin from Accounts?
Yes.
Good, right?
Yeah, that first really season. Good.
I just binged
it. You're married in real life.
I didn't know that.
Really,
that makes sense because they are good.
They're really good.
Really good together. Season 2 is out on Foxtel, and I am assuming binge as well. And I sat down, I was like, I binged that first season because I was on an aeroplane when I watched it, actually.
Such a good thing for an aeroplane.
Now I'm going to sit down and binge at least a few episodes.
No.
Only one. You got to wait till Thursday.
Back in the old days when things get released. But this time you pay for it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's exactly what I'm having to do. But it was great. It started off because I'd forgotten what happened, but it started off with Colin now being owned by somebody else, another family, and they are trying to they're at a park trying to get him to come to them.
Yeah.
And the new owner's like, this is harassment. You gave him up. And they're like, yeah, but only for an hour. We changed our mind. And then the episode goes on from there. It's exactly the same. It feels exactly the same. A lot of carryover champion characters in there. And I am just ready to enjoy it. I think I'm going to save it, though.
I was just about maybe to ask watch you a couple that. What's of, your like, game plan?
Maybe 2 episodes.
Yeah.
So having to wait every 2 weeks, that might be a better idea.
Yeah.
I think that might be my
yeah, do whatever action you plan. Would sit down and consume happily.
Yeah.
Like a 2 episodes a good fix.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. I think that's probably, yeah, I think because sometimes you're not in the mood to just sit and watch 4 episodes of something like that. But I feel like one's not enough unless you've got, which might be what I'm going to do, unless you've got 2 series.
Yes.
And you go, I'm going to watch 1 episode of that and 1 of this one back to back.
Yeah.
And that will be like your evenings watching.
Yeah.
But, yeah, back at it. If you haven't watched it before, please find it. Please watch it. It's very Australian.
Mm.
It's very funny. And it's got this wonderful, it's like a heart to it. Like you feel like you want to. And the fact that Colin the dog is hilarious.
Yeah.
Like he's just really cute.
Yeah.
And don't worry. If you get to the first 5-10 minutes of the first episode, it's fine. I've spoken about Colin in season 2, okay? He'll be fine.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Season's still called.
Yeah, that's right. What did you end up watching?
I dipped into a show on Netflix. It's not a new show. It's got about 4 seasons. And it's My Next Guest Needs No Introduction with David Letterman.
Oh, this one.
Yeah. So, you know, as we all know, David Letterman had late night talk show for a gazillion years.
I went and watched him film an episode once. Yeah.
So he's clearly a very clever interviewer.
Yeah.
But this is a more long session format. So it's not those little sound bites on the couch that you would get on the previous late night shows.
Yes, yes.
He's going to people's environments and he's sitting down with them and essentially what it feels like, he's either spending a whole day or he's spending quite a few days with them. So I'll just talk about one of the episodes, but I chose to watch one where he was interviewing Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Oh, yeah.
And look, if I can just read through a few of the people. It's a good pick. He's interviewed Billie Eilish, Will Smith, Cardi B, Ryan Reynolds, and Kevin Durant. That's just season four.
I'm pretty sure that it was an Obama, like Barack Obama was one of them, like in the beginning, like that was yeah. kind of what how yeah, they.
He's the first episode of season
there you go.
One.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Now, with Julia Louis-Dreyfus, he has clearly done a huge amount of research on her and he would ask her a question and she'd would answer and he'd be like, no, that's not it. Like just facts, you know, oh, your grandfather did this. How many years did he work in this thing for? And she'd be like, oh.
17.
17. He's like, no, 61. She's like, oh, that's what I was going to say. And he's like, gotcha, it was actually 74. You know, so he's done his research. He's so quick-witted. He's got a really endearing quality about him. And then it switches to, or it's interspersed, I should say, the sit-down interview with him hanging out with them and with her there walking along the beach, taking her dog for a walk.
Oh, okay.
And they meet up with a guy who they don't know, who is just fishing, and he becomes part of the conversation. So you see them being really relaxed and candid with him away from the formal interview setting. And there's beautiful slow jazz music behind it. And it really feels like the kind of show that you could sit down on a cold night in front of the fire, a glass of red wine, and just devour these two people. It's interesting. It's fun.
Now, it wouldn't necessarily be him meeting her for the first time, because I'm assuming over the years he's probably interviewed her on his late night show many times, but obviously not to the level and depth that they're going into there.
And that's the contrast, that it's a stark difference. It's not like, what are you promoting now? Tell me everything. Oh, tell me a funny story from your past. It's none of that. It's really going into, like with her particularly, it was, you know, How did you grow up? Oh, you had these two separate families. How did you feel being shipped between the two families? And which family did you align more to? And then how did
who's
you
your favorite? Pick
yeah,
one.
Who's your favorite? The one that gives the best presents.
Oh, of course.
Talking about, you know, her rise as a female comedian through the ranks and how she traveled across the country to do different things. And a lot of it was luck, you know, being seen in one particular show and then going over to Saturday Night Live. And
because she was like improv, wasn't she?
Yeah. And she did a lot of plays as well.
Mm, okay.
And then how she, you know, got into television and how difficult it is. And, you know, she wasn't, Elaine wasn't written into Seinfeld initially, and after the pilot they said you need a woman in the show, can't just be the guys, and so she was written in.
Wow.
Yeah. Really,
so
really
the character was written in, or did they have Julia Louis-Dreyfus as an idea, like an idea?
No, I think the character was written in from what I can ascertain. Mm. And then they talked about Veep and how
oh yeah, of course, she's gone on to do
huge things and how interesting that was, sort of life then imitating art, it was getting a bit too close to home.
Right.
Interesting. I like that it's not a series that you have to start at the very beginning.
Well, no,
and
you
understand
were picking
it.
And choosing.
Yeah, you just pick and choose out of the whole season. It's
yeah,
like,
that's
who are
really
you,
nice.
Who are you interested in? Who do you know nothing about and you can learn something?
Mm, yeah. Oh, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah. Well, I tried to watch Colin from Accounts and only watched one episode. Mm-hmm. So I started having a look around and I went onto Netflix as well. And I saw a picture of Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, yeah.
And his show Eric, limited series Eric. And I thought, oh, yeah, I'll give that a go. And then the first 5 minutes I was like, oh, this is probably a bit deep. I don't know if I'm really into it, because it's about like a boy that goes missing.
Yeah.
Is he dead? Is he kidnapped? What happened to him? If he is dead, who's killed him? If he isn't dead, what on earth has happened? Has he done it himself? Like, has he run away or what?
Yeah.
And then It's so good that even though I was not in the mood to watch something like that, I watched 3 episodes.
Did you?
Yeah. I watched 3 episodes of it. There's only 6.
That's a telltale sign, is it not? Yeah. How long are they?
Oh, maybe 40.
Oh, okay. Okay.
50 minutes.
It's still decent. It's not like it's a 20-minute thing that you're off.
No.
You're into the story.
Yeah.
Was it scary?
A little bit in the beginning.
Okay.
And then it's more about the people and the parents and how they're coping. And where is he? What's going on? Little clues. Who's looking for him?
Yeah.
The cop that's looking for him is obsessed with a lead from a previous case that he had been working on. And is he trying to link it because he wants to? Is he seeing it? Like, is he the only one seeing those
bias
links? Yeah. Or is there no link and he's just steering himself down the wrong road?
Red herring.
Yeah. Is he the red herring?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I really like it. It's cool. Very, very good. He's good.
Yeah.
He's doing an American accent, you would never know. At one point in time, his character does a Scottish accent.
Yeah.
And once again, you're like, this perfect Scottish accent. I mean, to me, who is not Scottish, but. Yeah.
My goodness.
So good.
Talking about accents, I will post it to our socials, but I saw a reel of Nicola Coughlan, you know, from Dairy Girls and Bridget and all of that, and she's been asked to do all these different accents. I know with a reel they only show you a really short amount of it. Do yourself a favor and click on it and watch the entire thing.
That sounds cool.
She nails all of them.
Wow. That's awesome.
She nails the Australian accent.
Really? Yeah. That's coming from an Australian and we are really, really judgmental.
And she's like, I can't do this. This is really hard. I'm not very good at the Australian accent. I'm like, you've just done it. But it's good. It's a good one.
Okay.
Watch it.
Oh, good. Look, speaking of good ones, are you ready for a really, 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 really ridiculously good, amazing quiz?
Yes.
Quiz time. I'm doing extra music because welcome back to the early 2000s Australian TV show quiz. What year did Big Brother start in Australia?
Oh, my God, I knew you were going to say Big Brother as soon as you said welcome back to the Australia. It's like she's going to talk about Big Brother. Okay. It was.
Now, I looked this up even though I knew when it was.
When it started? Oh, my goodness. Okay, I think it was definitely happening in 2003 and 4.
Which one are you going to say?
Or is one of them correct?
2001.
You know what I was trying to think? So I remember working in a bar and, you know, they have like TVs everywhere and working late night. So boring. It was the most boring job ever. And especially on nights when it was really quiet.
Oh, yeah.
And on the TV screens, I used to make the manager change the TV to Big Brother. Do you remember when it was Big Brother at night?
Oh, yeah.
And you just watched
them sleeping. Yeah, like, it was just a live feed.
Yeah.
It was like live streaming before live streaming was a thing.
Yes. So I remembered that and I thought, that didn't happen in the very first season, surely. It was when we were all addicted to Big Brother.
Yep, it was. What TV station broadcast the 2000 Olympics in Australia?
7.
Yes. See, I told you. Your sporting one you would get right.
Yeah.
How many seasons of The Biggest Loser in Australia were there?
Oh, 13?
Really? I would have guessed nowhere near that much, but it was 10. I was surprised it was 10.
Yeah.
I guess it was quite popular.
And I think people dipped in and out.
Mm. Yeah, fair enough. This is a hard one.
Okay.
On the show Rove Live.
Oh, yeah.
Who were his two mates, like the co-hosts, the guy and the girl?
Kate?
No. Not Kate. That was on the panel. Was that what it was called?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry. I was thinking the panel. Sorry. Okay, Rove.
That was a good show.
Oh, my gosh, Rove.
One guy has only left
Peter Hellyer.
Yeah.
And was it Carrie?
Oh, you're close. Corinne.
Corinne Grant.
Do you remember?
Yes.
Now, I looked her up recently. She went on to do law. So she's not even in the industry anymore. Yeah, she practices law.
You know, putting a lawyer on retainer and then you meet her and you spend the whole time in your first meeting not listening to her advice but being like, how do I bring up Rove?
Because I know her.
I know you.
I know you.
Are you – do we go to uni together?
Yeah, that's what it would be.
Do you work at the coffee shop? No.
I swear we would have worked together at that bar. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
We went to school together. It was preschool, wasn't it? You've grown up.
That's what it is.
Sense. You're on television.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm. Who played Nina's biological and adopted father in Offspring?
John Walters.
Waters. Yeah. And then the actual father? Her actual father?
Was Barry Humphries.
No.
Otto. Gary Otto.
Gary McDonald.
Would you like me to name a few more Australian actors? Gary McDonald?
Mm.
Oh, golly. Okay, yeah.
Who was the cook in The Cook and the Chef?
The guy from...
No.
Oh, the cook. Mm. Oh, yeah, Cook and the Chef. Maggie B. Sorry.
These are like, apart from like, I didn't really watch The Biggest Loser, but all of these shows are like things that we watched week to week for ages and they were big. Everybody watched them, right? Even The Cook and the Chef. Like it was on the ABC in the early evenings
That's how we all know that Maggie doesn't like chili.
Just don't give us chili food. Yeah. And it's just hilarious to talk about it as if it was like, remember when?
Yeah.
Where your brain can easily go back and be like, no, I remember it like yesterday.
I can't believe I had to think about them.
Corinne, I knew that would be the kicker. I thought that would be the difficult one.
But I said Carrie. I got a C.
You're really, really close.
Two R's, an I, and an E, correct?
Okay.
I just missed the O and the N.
All right, Barry Otto. Look. I enjoyed all of that and I think we should do it again and we'll do it next week, but the exact same quiz. So on that note, thank you very much.
Miranda will be so disappointed in me.